it seems to many of us like we've never heard more or been more aware of something like mental health. In the not too distant past, mental health was a term kept for extreme versions of poor health. It was for people who had gone mad, remember that? Or perhaps some injury or experience that causes them to be just overstressed by something that you and I might find perfectly normal. Think of something like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And you've got a really pungent example of a serious mental health issue. Those are difficult things to face in the world. But then on the back of this pandemic and three major lockdowns, you and I have become more aware of how widespread mental health issues are and how close to home they can come. We're probably all worried about someone, right? It might be you. It could be someone in your family. It could be a friend. We've been talking about these feelings for a few weeks now. If, though, you're one of those people who's still maybe not sure about all this mental health talk, good or bad, then maybe it's worth considering whether you've heard yourself saying any of these. See if this rings a bell with you. I just don't know where this is all going. I'm not sure I can do another lockdown. I wish our leaders would just tell us what's going on. My head is all over the place today. I feel weighed down by life, or I can't see how things are going to get much better anytime soon. Have you heard any of those? Yeah. And that's before you get to the kind of comments that really touch close to home. I haven't hugged anyone in 12 months. I miss my mom. I don't think my job is there to go back to. I'm angry that I've been robbed of time with my grandchildren. Or my illness is back and I'm on a big waiting list. Do you know, those feelings and the comments that go with them are how mental health problems start. They don't arrive with us fully formed as some major problem, but there's the seed of something in there, isn't there? Weary is the word a lot of us have chosen to describe how we're feeling. We've asked each other, how are you? How are you doing? And many of us find ourselves just sighing, unable to smile too broadly, and we shrug and say, you know, all right. And I think the person who asks us how we're feeling knows exactly that state of mind. They're weary too. 2 weeks ago, we saw the greatness of God in Isaiah 40. We heard how he is the source of all comfort. That was great news, comforting words. We felt better. But how do we receive that comfort today, tomorrow, and dare we think it in a potential fourth lockdown? Well, as Karl Barth used to say, the answer is Jesus. What's the question? The answer is Jesus, but how is Jesus the answer? Well, the first thing to say this morning is Jesus is our only hope. Jesus helps the bruised and the battered. Jesus helps those who feel like they're burning dimly. We've heard that twice this morning. First in Isaiah 42, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. We might read that and think, well, Isaiah's experience is a long way from ours. And in some ways it is, but in other ways, nothing has changed. You see, in his day, God was addressing the idols of the people. He points to them and he confirms that they are nothing. They cannot save you. They cannot help you. They don't care about you. They are nothing. Just before our reading are these words. God says, I look, but there is no one. No one among the gods to give counsel. No one to give answer when I ask them. See, they are false. Their deeds amount to nothing. Their images are but wind and confusion. And then our reading. God introduces his servant. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he'll not break. Smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. Jesus is the answer, the only answer. And this morning, as we think about being weary, Jesus helps those who are weary. We know that for sure because Jesus says so. Our call to worship, what does Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And we know he's the answer because Isaiah is quoted in Matthew 12. Listen again. Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken to the prophet Isaiah. Here is my chosen servant. And it runs on from there. I wonder if we caught what Jesus is doing as we hear those words. He withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him. He healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. Now, we might latch onto that and the withdrawal from places and from people. Some of us have felt that, haven't we? The need to get away, get your head shored, to be alone, to recover a little bit. And that's fine. That can be really healthy and good for us. We certainly see Jesus doing this a lot, don't we? Or maybe you're looking at that and you're picking up on the crowd that needed Jesus. Maybe that's where you see yourself. They needed healing, just like we do, healing for the body. And healing for the soul. And those things are available with Jesus. They are. They are the rest that he promises to the tired and the weary who come to him. But the reason that Matthew quotes Isaiah 42, apologies, folks. The reason that Matthew reaches for Isaiah 42 is because of this. Jesus did not come with a showy display of miracles and wonders. He didn't come and say, hey, look at me. Look at what I can do. He came to say, come to me, and I'll show you the Father. Jesus didn't lead a conquest into Rome. He didn't take up political office and set about his agenda for the Middle East. He came to save us. And that mattered more than any political or social trouble of the day. It actually mattered more than the healing of the sick. These people would get sick again. These people would eventually die of some illness or other. But Jesus came to save. The Messiah was so misunderstood by the people of Jesus' day that in the face of all of this, healings and miracles, Jesus had to play down the expectations about any revolution or political payback. Look at it again. You'll see the quietness of it. Jesus withdrew from the place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. Now you might think, all right, what about it? What's that to us? Thought we were talking about Jesus as the answer to our weariness. Well, what you're seeing there, folks,
is the tranquility of Jesus on display. In a place of withdrawal, healing the people and doing it quietly and gently and in the mode of Isaiah's servant, the suffering servant. Maybe you've heard that title, suffering servant. We've come across this. But let's see today that it matters to us in those precise terms. We don't have a Savior who doesn't know what we're going through or how we're feeling, but one who does. He's not our servant and that's it. He's the suffering servant, full of empathy because he knows what it is to suffer more than anyone. And that is the compassion of these words. Talk amongst yourselves. Put the test card up there, shouldn't we? There we go. How's that, gents? Right, where was I? I could actually quiz you, couldn't I? I could check if you're listening. Suffering servant. Yeah, Jesus knows how I'm feeling. Wow. He knows where I am. And that's where these words come alive. Here is my servant, whom I've chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him. He'll proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. And a bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Jesus is the gentle, humble servant. Folks, you and I are the bruised reed and the smoldering wick. And Jesus brings salvation to exactly these kinds of people. The hurt and the harassed, the weak and the heavy burdened. How does he do that? Well, like the crowd, we take our feelings to Jesus. We tell him our needs. Let me say this again to you. There is nothing you can't tell Jesus. And when we go to him with our honesty and our pain and our despair, we might say, Lord, I hate this. I hate feeling this way. I'm flat. I'm weary. I'm like a light bulb on its last legs. I'm just flickering slowly out, waiting to blow. I need you. And Jesus meets us in that prayer. He breathes his grace on us and keeps our faith alive because we've brought it to the right person. We might even go home this week and ponder these words. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And we might thank God for Jesus. His words speak to us, the gentle kindness of the friend. Like any chat with a friend, that is good for us. You might start to feel a little bit lighter. And of course, there's no friend like Jesus. You will certainly find him in the church. The concern of the friend in the pew is God's grace to us in those moments. God has put someone in your way today to bring you a little taste of grace. Friends, we can be weary and faithful in these very ordinary, quiet ways. This is the effect of the gospel, of believing Jesus when he says things like this. Do you know what works the other way too? Your prayer might change. It might go like this. Lord, I need you today. I'm tired. In fact, I really am not sure I could be bothered. But you have asked me to love others. So, okay. Who is it I can love today? Who would you send my way so that I can show them your grace? Lord, tell me who it is. Bring them to me and I'll do it.
just know that if you pray that, God will answer it. And from God to his Son through his Spirit, with the tools of the church, this is how you and I stem the tide of mental health problems. From God to his Son through his Spirit and with the tools of the church, this is how we stem the tide of mental health problems. You might think that's a bold statement, but then I wouldn't be here doing this with all of you if the gospel wasn't this powerful. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him. He'll proclaim justice to the nations. He'll not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. The bruised reed he will not break. The smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope.